From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And 509 days after the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, authorities are focused on airplane debris that washed up on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. Investigators are confident that the debris came from a wing of a Boeing 777, and MH370 was a 777. Now, searchers are studying ocean currents to find out where this debris may have come from. Joining us from London is Dr. Eric Van Sabeel, a physical oceanographer and specialist in ocean currents at Imperial College London. Dr. Van Sabeel, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And if it is determined that this piece of airline debris is, in fact, from the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, would it surprise you that it had been able to drift to Reunion Island?
Well, this kind of drift is totally consistent with the ocean modeling that we do. And in fact, some preliminary ocean circulation modeling that we've been doing now does tell us that, yes, you can get from the search area where most likely the plane has hit the water somewhere to Reunion Island in 17 months.
And would it tell you that there would be other debris that we're likely to see in the same place, or do the ocean currents just take things all over the place?
Well, the ocean currents in general are pretty deterministic, and we understand how they move. But on top of that, there's a lot of turbulence in the ocean, and it all mixes up a small piece of debris. So if at impact, the debris field would have been only a few hundred feet, by now, just because of the chaotic nature of the ocean and the turbulence of the ocean, that has grown into a debris field probably hundreds and hundreds of miles in diameter.
And would most of the debris from an airplane stay on the surface of the water and float around, or would a lot of it sink to the bottom and stay in one place?
Well, it's hard to say about especially this plane, because it also depends really on how it hit the water and how many pieces did it break up when it hit the water. But in general, we know that over time, pieces of debris get more waterlogged, they get more barnacles growing on them, and that really draws them down. It makes them less buoyant and buoyant. And from the research we've been doing about plastics in the ocean, for instance, we see that in a year, in 1.5 years, that plastic just sinks down to the bottom of the ocean. So I wouldn't be surprised if a large, really, really large fraction of all the debris now is already at the bottom of the ocean.
How difficult is it for something of that size? And just the image that we see of this looks like a wing flap, that's probably a pretty heavy thing. How easy is it for something like that to move such a far distance?
Everything gets carried by the currents, of course, and the currents can move anything that they want. I think the interesting thing is that it's been pretty bad weather over the last 1.5 years. And you may remember early on in the search that there were all these hurricanes. These hurricanes, they create giant waves and really strong winds and turbulence. Normally, they break up a lot of things. And it just shows that airplanes are made to be extremely sturdy and to resist a lot of turbulence. That this piece of wing is still so intact, I think just shows that this has been a very strong piece of engineering.
How does this affect the search for the plane then? Because it sounds like what you're saying is this might have ended up on Reunion Island, but this doesn't tell us that a lot of the debris is going to end up in one place.
Absolutely, that's true. But I think there's some hope. So if we track back where something that ends up now on Reunion Island, where that was 17 months ago, we end up with a large area, a very, very large area, and we wouldn't be able to scour that all. But we have other evidence. We still have the arc along which the search team is looking. And actually, it seems that this piece of evidence would make it more likely that the plane went down in the northern part of the arc rather than the southern part of the arc. So it might actually shift a little bit of the search zone, and it might give an opportunity to really rethink where the search is going on. The more interesting, the even more exciting opportunity, possibility, is when more pieces of debris are found. Because if we have other pieces of debris, we could track those back in time too, and in some way narrow the search area. It's a bit like the triangulation that your GPS on your phone does, where the more satellites it sees, the more GPS signals it gets, the more accurate it can actually locate where your phone is at that point. Now, here we have only one piece of evidence, but if we start finding more of these, those will just add up and add up. At some point, maybe we would be able to really narrow down to a reasonably sized area that we could absolutely scour.
Searching for debris like this, of course, brings to mind all of the debris that left Japan after the tsunami there, and some of it ended up on the coastline of the United States.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've learned a lot from that. And we've really used that to improve our models. Not only the debris, but also the radioactive materials. That's all gone into our better understanding of how ocean currents move stuff around.
That's Dr. Eric Van Sibeel, a physical oceanographer and specialist in ocean currents at Imperial College London. Dr. Van Sibeel, thank you for joining us.
No worries.